Is the pulpit, there we go. Kids, y'all did so well. And y'all, Ashley and Jonah Kyle, y'all tore it. I mean, that was amazing. That's a great song, great message. Should we do like a competition between, like have a vote between the choir from last week and the children choir? And whoever wins gets like gift cards or something? Right? Y'all feel good about your chances, don't you? Hey, who's my little amener a while ago? Who amen? Was that little Sam? Who was that? Oh, we got a future Tommy Piku over there. If y'all don't know Tommy, you don't know what I mean. But in a little bit, is Tommy here? Oh, well, you would have got to hear him. Because I'm going to say a few things that he'll amen to today, I hope. All right, well, let's turn to our Bibles. John chapter 11. Title of the message is, Do You Believe This? Do you believe this? Again, I do want to thank you all for being here. If you don't go to church a lot, you are welcome here. We love to have you. We're so thankful that you came on Easter. If you're from out of town and you don't go much, please, you know, find a local church to get involved in, because God is worth our time. In John chapter 11, we see one of, it's probably my favorite thing that Jesus ever did. We're kind of picking up the story in verse 17, and then we're going to go just a certain distance in it, and then later we'll pick it back up, the ending of it. Let's just look at these verses from 17. I'm actually going to stop at verse 38, so you can read along with me. If you don't have your Bible with you, it will be on the screen, hopefully big enough for you to read. All right? It says, Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the promises that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the hearts and minds of everyone in this room. God, that you open them up to the reality of the resurrection. Lord, that we will not be prideful, but we'll humble ourselves before you to believe, to see what it is that you have done. We pray for your Holy Spirit to do this today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have 4 points. The first is death is coming to us all. The second is Jesus weeps over our lack of belief. The third is Jesus is the power over death. And finally, we must believe. The first is death is coming to us all. Now, I hate death. Anybody else in the same boat as me? I got some feedback up here. Is the pulpit mic? Okay. Maybe turn the gain down on it or something. You know, death is coming to all of us. And Lazarus' story is a reminder of this. I do a lot of funerals, and I can tell that the one thing I hate the most in the world is death. And seeing people without their loved one. And this situation with Lazarus did not catch Jesus off guard. It was not a surprise to him. Matter of fact, it was planned in the beginning. We even see that Jesus knew exactly what was going on. If you go back a few verses, we started in verse 17, but if you go back in the chapter to verse 4, he hears about Lazarus being sick. And this is what he says. When Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Then a couple days later, Jesus says to the disciples, as they were off in another town, "Let's go to Lazarus because he has fallen asleep." And they didn't really want to go because they knew that people were trying to kill him. And so they're like, "Look, he'll get better. If he's just fallen asleep, he'll get better and he'll be all right." And they didn't understand what was really happening because Jesus was being a bit cryptic with them. He didn't always tell them everything. Just like for us today, we don't always know everything that God is doing. And he was doing this with the disciples. And so they ask him and they question him. And so Jesus, he just stops and explains it to them. And he says in verses 14 and 15, it says, "He told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So note here that this does not catch Jesus off guard. We know it from the passage that there's a purpose to this. The disciples didn't want to go. Matter of fact, Thomas would go as far as to say, "Let's just go and we'll die with him, all right?" He's like, "Whatever." But this doesn't catch Jesus off guard. Matter of fact, he says there's a purpose to this event happening. There's a purpose to Lazarus' sickness. There's a purpose to his death. And there's a purpose for me showing up late. And the purpose is for the glory of God. This is what he says. "For the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." And Jesus is going to go and he's going to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the ending already. Okay? Some of you know it, some of you may not. Now the questions that we're going to have to ask today is, do you believe this? Do you believe that this really happened? That Jesus really went to the town of Bethany to his friend Lazarus and he raised him up from the grave? I mean, do you believe this? And maybe you do and maybe you don't. And I'll tell you this. Hundreds of people in that day saw it. They saw it. Hundreds of people admitted to it. Even the enemies of Jesus admitted that this happened. This morning I was preaching at Jerusalem. And I said, we have a strong belief that Alexander the Great lived. And that the Roman emperors lived and that they conquered. And even before them, the Persians and the Assyrians. And we believe this in history, but there is more written history, more documents written about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ than any other ancient event ever in history. Even the enemies of Jesus believed that he had done this, but they hated him for it. And as a matter of fact, it says that they tried even more so to kill him. And instead of just Jesus, they put another person on their most wanted list, Lazarus, that man that come up from the grave. They wanted to kill him as well. Now, if this really happened, what does it mean for you? So today is such a practical life lesson for us. Like what we have, what our kids sang about, and what Ashley and Jonah Kyle sang about, and what we've read, these have real life applications for you in your life. Because I can tell you, people die. 100% of the people you know, they will die. 10 out of 10, it's going to happen. Whether this week or 10 years from now, there's no doubt that's going to happen. Whether you're a Christian or not, you have to deal with death. We all do. But if it really happened, what does it mean? It would mean that Jesus is really God. That he really does have the power over death. And that he really is your only hope. There is no all roads lead to heaven. That makes no sense. When they disagree with one another and they contradict each other, Jesus makes it very clear when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Peter would say in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when he's preaching, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is really, really good news for most of us in here. But it may be terrible news for some of us. If a person has not humbled themselves before God, turned from their sins and turned to Jesus in obedience and faith, they're still lost in their sins, the scriptures teach. And this story of Lazarus is here to remind us that we will all one day die. Some of you have dealt with death recently. I'm going to share with you a testimony of someone who died just this week, this Monday. When I was younger, my father was married to a woman who had 3 children, Michael, Wendy, and Shucks. Now, his name's really Brian. I don't know why we call him Shucks. That's the only name I know for him. But I'm the oldest of like my real brothers and sisters, okay? But I had some stepbrothers. And this stepbrother of mine, he's about 4 years older than me, and he beat up on me pretty much every day of my life. And I loved every minute of it. I don't know why. I don't know. And I look back so fondly of those times of being held down and put in headlocks and my head being pushed back and spitting on me and all these crazy things. And you know, and Shucks, you know, he was a good brother to have. But you know, he married this godly woman named Nicole. She loved the Lord. And they have 3 beautiful children. The oldest is about 20 and the youngest is in the 2nd grade. She was a godly woman. She served her local church. She cared about people's souls. But on Monday, at the age of 44, she died. This happened this week. 44 years old, she died of an asthma attack. She died in his arms. And I can only imagine the pain that Shucks and his 3 children are going through. I was there at the funeral yesterday. And it was sad. It was sad, but it was also beautiful. It was sad because she will be missed by those who love her, by those that she served. Yes, it was. Yet it was beautiful because she believed in the resurrection of Jesus. And she had given her life to him in many, many ways. And the testimony of her life yesterday was filled with stories of her giving herself to Christ in the lives of other people so that they would know him. And we sang songs of hope and promise because she had trusted in Christ. Now, listen to what she wrote just 2 days before she passed away unexpectedly. You could go on Facebook and you can see it. It's still there. She posted a post. Now, she was reposting something, and I'd actually read it that week. But then she comments on it. The post that she posted, this wasn't her words, but I'll get to hers. And it said this. It says, when the Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, the Bible is being serious. Your heart is deceitful. Your emotions fluctuate. Your understanding does not see the overall big picture. God never lies. God never changes. God knows all. Trust Him. Then she commented, her response was, there was a day when I felt nothing but fear at the realization that I had absolutely no control. I'm coming to understand what a great privilege it is to know someone much greater than I. And He holds insignificant little me in His hand. His ways, His thoughts, His plans are so much more than mine. Trust God no matter what. Now, she wrote this on Sunday night at 10:21. And she died on Tuesday night. I can't help but to think that she was preaching a message to those that were going to miss her. Trust God because He knows what He's doing. Now, she's gone from this earth, having trusted in Jesus fully. And she was able to write such things because they are true. And she was able to hope such things because Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Now, let's consider the sorrow that Lazarus' sisters and friends and family had, and then Jesus' response to that. We see here Jesus weeping over their lack of unbelief. Jesus is coming into town. He's coming into Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Martha hears that He's coming, so she rushes out to meet Him. Mary stayed behind. Martha comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, Jesus responds in an amazing way, but that's my third point, so I can't tell you yet, all right? We're going to skip over that. But then He asks for Mary. And so Martha goes and gets Mary. Mary comes to Jesus. She falls down at His feet and she says, what do you think she says? It's up there. You should know. I already read it, right? She says the exact same thing that Martha said. Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Then Jesus sees her weeping and those that had followed her weeping. And then notice what John, the apostle, and now John was there. This man, John, was with Jesus when this happened. And he writes about Jesus' response. In verse 33, it says, He was deeply moved in His spirit and greatly troubled. Then he asks where Lazarus was. And in verse 35, we hear Jesus wept. As we continue reading the eyewitness account, as Jesus comes to the tomb, John writes, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. Now I want you to focus on those two descriptions of Jesus' emotions. They're very important. Deeply moved and greatly troubled. Now I'm not going to pretend to say I know all the feelings that Jesus had at this time, but I want to show you something that we see in the text. As they wept and they questioned Him, and the Jews that were with Him said, could He not have healed him? He opened the eyes of a blind man. Now, most of us think that Jesus was sad. He's just sad that Lazarus had died. But if you dig a little bit deeper, I think you're going to see Jesus' emotions a little bit differently. That first word, deeply moved, is going to be used again in verse 38. And it's used three times outside of the gospel. It is never a word for compassion, but it's a word of rebuke or warning. The other word, greatly troubled, signifies being shaken or agitated. It's not a positive emotion. Jesus was shaken, he was upset, and he was disturbed. And I suggest to you that I believe Jesus felt this way as he looked over those who were doubting him, those that were not believing, the lack of faith around him, and it bothered him. And I think it's important to know, because think about this. Why would Jesus weep that Lazarus had died if he was just about to raise Lazarus from the dead? And he knew he was going to do it 4 days ago. He wasn't sad about Lazarus. I don't believe. And you hear that, right? And I do believe that Jesus, obviously we have a high priest that's like us, that sympathizes with us. He was tested just like we are in every way, yet without sin. He understands the sorrow we go through. But in this situation, he's got people doubting him. He's even got his followers doubting him. In Sunday school this morning, we learned about Thomas, who just, I'm not going to believe till I see you, till I touch you. And the reason this is so important is because everything hinges on believing. Whoever believes in me, he's going to say. Whoever believes in me, everything hinges on that. And I believe this upset him. God doesn't want us fearful over our coming death. He does not want us worried about our coming death. He doesn't want it to take us off guard. He wants the whole world to know that there is a way to defeat death. And he is that way. You see, the eyewitness account of the death of Lazarus was not meant to be a sad story. Rather, it was meant to be a glad story, a happy story, a story of victory. Just like my brother's wife, his story isn't meant to be a sad story, but rather a story of victory, a story of resurrection. That's what the story is. God purposely allowed Lazarus to die so that he could show us and them back then, but us today as well, the truth. To show us his power over the grave so that he could demonstrate it in a very clear way for all people to see. And this brings me to my third point, which is what we see is that Jesus is the power over death. It's not that he has the power over death. He is the power over death. When Martha confronted Jesus and said, "If you had just been here, my brother would not have died." This is Jesus' response in verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Now consider the content of that statement that Jesus makes. Look at three things. The first thing we see is he says, "I am." Now you read that, many of you in here, a lot of what's being said there is lost on you. In the Greek we see ego emi, which means I am. What Jesus is really saying here, he's calling himself Yahweh. Now that's the name that Moses was given by God when Moses said, who should I tell them is sending me? And he says, "I am that I am." So for the Jewish people, that's the name that they refer to for God. So when Jesus says this thing right here, what he's really saying for them to hear is, "I am God. I am God." It was clear for them when they heard it. This is really, these things that he said like this is really what got him crucified. They said he was a blasphemer for making himself equal with God. He says, "I am." Secondly, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Is there anything more important for us to hear than those two words from Jesus Christ? Resurrection and life. How appropriate this is for us For all of us in here who can look around and see that we all die and we seemingly stay dead, don't we? Like, you go out there. Is anybody popping up out of those things yet? I mean, we hope not. I mean, we hope so. But if you ever heard that Ray Stevens song, "It Ain't Sitting Up With the Dead No More," since the dead started sitting up too. Anybody heard that song? Come on, bro. We got a few. My daughter loves that. Jesus tells us something here. He's saying, yes, you are all dying and will one day die physically. But guess what? I am life. And because I'm life, I can give you life. Your body will pass away, but I am the resurrection. And because I am the resurrection, I will resurrect you. Then he explains it. Look what he says. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He says the same thing twice, but in different ways. He's saying it for the dead and he's saying it for the living. For those who have already died believing in Christ, though they die, Jesus is saying, I want you to know they will live. And for those of you that are alive today and you believe in Christ, guess what? He says, you will never die. It may seem like it. If these words are true, and I believe they must be, I believe God's word is trustworthy. It's been proven in many ways. This means that there will not be 1 second where you will be dead if you believe on Christ. Not 1 second. From the moment one believes in Christ, from that moment on, they're given eternal life. Their body may fail, it may wear out, but he will never die. It's like a man who walks in to his home coming from the cold of winter. And he's bundled up in a coat. And as he walks in, he takes the coat off and he hangs it on the coat rack. And he walks in and he greets his family with a kiss. That's all dying is for the Christian. They drop this body and they go right into glory. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we believe. And we believe this. We believe this because people saw Jesus do this. And we believe their account. We believe that it's trustworthy. Resurrection is the promise that Jesus gives to those who believe in Him. It's not simply that He gives resurrection and gives life, but rather He is the resurrection and the life. And He can give life because His very essence is life. Now, I know many men and women personally. I used to be a trainer. I used to do that. I know many men and many women who spend thousands of dollars a year to keep themselves healthy, trying as hard as they may to eke out one more day from their life. They go to the gym and they work out. And that's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. They take supplements. They try to eat healthy. They try to de-stress. They get regular blood work. They are always on the lookout for some anti-aging product, right? How many of you know you're that way? All right, if you saw something that said, hey, this here is going to make you live longer, right? You're like, I'm taking this. Women are like, if it makes my skin look better, I'm going to take it. Yeah, that's right. They got you fooled. Just put some aloe on your face and cucumbers, you'll be all right. But you know, so many pay very little attention to their souls. They pay very little mind to the church or to things of God. Now, you may not be so concerned with health and wellness. You may be just concerned with seizing the day, living it up now while you can, and not paying any mind to church or the things of God for whatever reason. Jonathan Edwards, who's probably the greatest theologian that our country has ever had, lived back in the 1800s. He writes in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He writes this: It is no security to wicked men for one moment that there are no visible means of death at hand. 'Tis no security to a natural man that he is now in health, and that he doesn't see which way he should now immediately go out of the world by any accident, and that there is no visible danger in any respect in his circumstances. The manifold and continual experience of the world in all ages shows that this is no evidence that a man is not on the very brink of eternity, and that his next step won't be into another world. The unseen, unthought of ways and means of persons going suddenly out of the world are innumerable and inconceivable. Just because you're doing well healthily, your body's doing good, you're feeling good, it doesn't mean that you're further away from death than the oldest person in here. It can happen to us all at any moment. The greatest assurance a man or woman can have is their assurance that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if we are in Him, we are safe from death. But we must believe. This is where the rubber meets the road. After Jesus says He is the resurrection and the life, He asks Martha a very simple question, and you may have heard me ask this question many times from this pulpit because I use it all the time. He says, "Do you believe this?" And I ask, "Do you believe this? What are you not willing to do for God, who has given Himself for you and given you the promise of resurrection?" I dare say, if you were without this promise of resurrection and the advertisers came on TV promoting life after death, there would be nothing you wouldn't do for it. There'd be no payment too high, no time too lengthy, no amount of energy would get in your way. Yet all we are called to do is believe. And then let us take everything we have and everything we are to serve Jesus in this life. Notice the reality for those who believe this about Jesus. Notice what happens for Lazarus. You may think this is an account of something that just happened to one person 2,000 years ago. But that is not all it is. There is much more here. This is your story. This is my story. This is Nicole's story. Jesus did this so you would see that this is you if you believe. The story of Lazarus is you if you believe. Read the conclusion and put yourself, your name, or someone you know in the place of Lazarus. In verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord," she's doubting, "by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who died had come out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amen. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, I'm going to tell death, unbind him and let him go. You won't die. We'll think you died, but you won't die. This is your promise. Now, you can believe it or not. You may say, this is a silly story. I think Cinderella's story makes more sense than this. But it'll be your loss. You want to know why Jesus did things this way? He could have kept Lazarus from dying, couldn't he? I mean, even an unbeliever would say that. It looked like he did miracles. He could have kept him from dying. But Jesus does this so that they would see the glory of God. And John, his follower, wrote this down so that you would believe and that you too would see the glory of God. In verse 40, he says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And for all of us in here that have believed, I'm going to testify to you. I have seen the glory of God in my heart and in my life. And I lay my head down every night in peace, knowing if something was to happen to me, something was to happen to my wife or my two lovely children, I wouldn't be happy about it. But I know without a doubt that they are still alive and I'll see them again and I'll see the glory of God in heaven. Now, if you responded by saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe. And I give my life to you." If you haven't, you should do that today. If you have, are you giving your life to God daily? That's the true sign that you're really His. If you're not living for Him, you may not be of Him. The writer, the songwriter, writes this: I'm alive because He lives. Because He lives. Give yourself to God today. Teddy's going to come and he's going to lead us in a response song. And because we didn't get the chance to sing much together as a congregation, don't just use this as a time of an invitation for people to come down, but please sing this song together as a congregation, as a response, and as a time of rejoicing over what Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the message of the gospel. Well, I pray that Your word is speaking in the hearts of many, even this morning. God, overcome all of our unbelief, all of our doubt, all of our apathy. Lord, and do a mighty work for Your glory and for Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing "The Savior is Waiting." Would you stand? Hymn number 412.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world keep you apart. What is your answer? He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. How He wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find it wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
I want to thank you all for coming. We're going to do a little brief change. Instead of you dismiss us in a prayer, I'm hoping that you can find up from the grave he arose. We'll sing that and leave, okay? Is that all right? If you feel God speaking to you in any way, look, my office is open, or at least my phone number is. All right? So you text me, and we can get together, and we can talk.
Found it. I'm sorry.
You think you found it?
I haven't found it yet.
Low in the grave. That's it, isn't it?
Let's do that. Is that all right? Y'all good standing? Y'all didn't stand much during the early part. Let's sing this together as a congregation. If we can.
Holler a number out. 273.
Is that all right with you, Deanna? No practice?
Oh, Deanna.
Let's see what she's got.
All right. Here we go.
Old song.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his frame, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Now sing out. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. You're dismissed.